on hustling it down, and that's the first wild pitch of the game, so might as well have that happen, too. Two RBIs by Stalaszynski. He goes to third on the wild pitch. And moving on to second is Mark Peer, and it's a 3-2 count to Matt Sheffa. Garf has not thrown badly. Really, he has not thrown badly. He could be very well in this ball game, no worse than tied. And in at the corners, pitch fouled off again. Sheffa, good solid hitter. He's making it tough on Garf. I don't see any warm-up action for Dixie. 6-3. St. Louis Merrimack with a lead. Garf is in for the duration right now. The pitch, fastball, swung on and missed, strike three. So Garf has two, both of them by strikeouts. Sabota, by the way, last inning got all three of his outs by strikeouts. It was just a two-run home run that kept things alive. Now Shepper coming to the plate. Shepper, two-run single and an RBI double. He is three RBIs and two times up. Catcher now has 43 on the year to lead St. Louis Merrimack. On at third base, Stalaszynski. On at second base, Mark Peer. First base is open. Breaking pitch, called strike on that corner. So Shepper takes a strike. Garf has been ahead of Shepper all of the time in each of his first two times up. Into the stretch, Garf looks at third, comes to the plate. Breaking pitch, swung on and missed, strike two. Took a lot off of that one. Shepper had the fastball time, did not have the curveball. Way out in front of that one. 0-2 count to Shepper. But Shepper, good solid hitter. Dixie a little shell-shocked in the field right now. Fastball up, ball one. Jeff Garf, never really having a chance to get his rhythm. Just when it looked like he was going to get his rhythm, there would be an error. One of which was Garf's. But there are six of them on the board right now. The pitch, fastball, swung on and missed. That one was out of the strike zone, but Shepper went after it. So a strike out of the side for Garf. But in the inning, two runs, one of them earned, by the way, on a total of two base hits and two errors again. And two men left on base. And at the end of four complete, it's a 6-3 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
In southern Utah, this is the sports leader, KSGI AM and FM, St. George.
Sony Quality Electronics and the Boulevard Home Furnishings, your camcorder headquarters, invite you to camcord it. That's right, your prize-winning rosebush, the winning home team, the children in the sprinklers, the home of your dreams. Save the memories with the Sony camcorder and camcord it. The Boulevard is your camcorder headquarters with southern Utah's largest selection and lowest prices guaranteed, and a service department to service what they sell. When you're looking for the best selection in prices on the best brands, there's no place like the Boulevard.
The friendly people at Dad's Trucking in St. George wishes the Dixie College baseball team good luck in the Junior College World Series. Dad's Trucking specializes in meeting customers' needs in the truckload or less-than-truckload service areas, now serving all points in the states of Arizona, California, Nevada, and Utah. Dad's Trucking is open 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday for your convenience. Dad's Trucking, your quality service carrier. Call 673-1886. Dad's Trucking.
Top of the fifth inning, Dixie trying to get to Dave Sabota, but Sabota gets plenty of rest with Dixie's errors. Craig Peterson, who was 0 for 2, grounded out to second base, grounded out to the first baseman. Lead things off, top of the fifth inning. First pitch, called strike. Sabota, all he has to do is throw strikes. Has a three-run lead. Dixie's Skeeter Ellison is the only man who has really owned him tonight, as he is 2 for 2. The pitch to Peterson, breaking pitch in the dirt, ball one. 1-1 count to Craig Peterson. Scott Sudbury waiting on deck. Buggy Sudbury. Dixie held to four hits and three runs. A triple, a double, and a home run in those four hits. One double in the hits by St. Louis Merrimack. Pitch outside, ball two, 2-1 count. So Dixie has enough time to come back, enough innings to. The question is, will the defense give it away? As the defense has been atrocious tonight for Dixie. The pitch, fastball, line to right center field. Base hit for Craig Peterson. So Peterson gets around on Sabota, and Dixie has the leadoff man on, and Scott Sudbury coming to the plate. down by three runs is still close enough you could start putting on some plays, but do you at this point? Gordon Jolly, if he does. Sudbury 0 for 2, reached on an error and grounded out to the second baseman. He's gone to the right side both times. Gone to the opposite field, opening his stance just a little more against Sabota. 6-3. Merrimack with the lead. Pick off over at first. Back in is Craig Peterson. And the last thing you want to be doing now is getting picked off of first base when you're down by three runs against one of the ace pitchers in the tournament. Dave Sabota, pick off over at first. Back in is Peterson. Like the way Sissel applies that tag, he just snaps that tag down on the runner as he dives back in at first base. Into the stretch, Sabota comes to the plate. Fastball, line to right center field. That one's going to drop. Taking off is Peterson. Peterson has a chance to score. Backhanded by the right fielder. Coming into second base is Sudbury. The throw to the plate is not going to be in time, and Peterson scores. Little hesitancy with the cutoff throw. And so a run-scoring double by Scott Sudbury. Sudbury, who leads the team in doubles. Peterson going all the way. And I don't think there's going to be an error. The right fielder slipped as he grabbed the ball, but I don't think they're going to count an error on that one. I think it's going to be an RBI all the way. So it's 6-4. Brad Parker at the plate stands to be the tying run. Nobody out. Top of the fifth inning. And Dixie trying to rattle the batting cage again. The pitch, breaking pitch, called ball. Just missed. Parker has walked. He has struck out. One ball count to Brad Parker. Top of the fifth inning. Dixie trying to come back against St. Louis Merrimack. Fastball hit in the air to right field. There, having it all the way, is Thorpe. I want to say Thorpe. Grabbing it and now taking off to third base. The throw coming through and going into third is Sudbury. So no sacrifice fly, but Parker does get him to third. Fly out to the right fielder. That used to be a sacrifice fly. Good throw by the right fielder, Mark Peer, but Peer has nowhere near the arm that Brad Parker has. He has a good arm, but nothing like Parker. One man out, man at third, a run in, and Cale Shepard at the plate. He's grounded out twice. Breaking pitch, swung on and missed strike one. Shepard just seems to be off the mark now after having that huge Region 18 tournament. Hit the ball okay in the district tournament, but not like he did in the Region 18 tournament. 18 postseason RBIs. Pitch in the dirt. Ball one. 1-1 count. Shepard started. Held up. Good play by the catcher, Shepper. Shepper, S-C-H-E-P-E-R for St. Louis Merrimack. Shepard, the first baseman for Dixie. Fastball fouled off. Got him in on the fifth. 1-2 count. So Sabota is doing a good job on Shepard, who is 0 for 2 on the night. One man out, a run in here in the top of the fifth inning. Dixie now trails 6-4, and this game is not over yet. Dixie can get another run home, then you have the tying run on base. If Shepard can get on, that is. The pitch, call strike three. Shepard takes that one. And Dixie taking a lot of called third strikes. That is three out of the last four strikeouts called third strikes. So two men out, and Wyatt Cloward at the plate. He took a called third strike his second time up, singled to left his first time up, and scored. Wyatt Cloward, 1-for-2 on the night. Sabota to the plate, breaking pitch, chased and missed. Sabota with that curveball on that outside corner, started it towards the outside corner, and Cloward went after it. Problem Cloward had in the Region 18 tournament, when he corrected that, he started to rip the ball all over the place. Pitch, breaking pitch, called strike two, this time on the inside corner. So Sabota rebounding in a hurry. So Dixie gets two solid hits, but Sabota coming right back. 0-2 pitch to Cloward. Fastball, call strike three. Takes a call third strike again, and that's another strikeout for Sabota. So in that inning, one run on one base hit, no errors, and a man left. And at the end of 4.5, it's a 6-4 lead. St. Louis Merrimack back after this timeout.
Sign up today for ConNet Cellular's free weekend of phone calls for 2 months. That means you can place and receive calls on your ConNet Cellular phone at no charge during specified weekend hours of midnight Friday through 11:59 p.m. Sunday. The offer is available for a limited time. Find out the details today at ConNet Cellular. Call 628-2002 or see them at 370 West St. George Boulevard. ConNet Cellular.
Steamroller Copies, we're the one to help you till your work is done. The full service business center makes your day run so much better.
Rubber stamps,
letterheads,
colored copies, blue and red,
invitations for the wedding,
faxing and computer renting,
lots of architect supplies,
copies done in many sizes, no dimension is too high, from blueprints down to business cards,
folding, binding, laminating,
all the business you're creating, call us and we'll get it done. 674-0911,
the full service business center.
Bottom of the fifth inning, Darren Sissel, Tim May, Mark Hanick due up for St. Louis Marymount. St. Louis Marymount has scored two runs in each of three innings. They've only batted four innings. Dixie has scored in three out of the five innings against Sabota, so the ace pitcher is being roughed up. Dixie not helping out defensively, though. Breaking pitch going after the bunt and missing it is Sissel. Sissel tried to bunt his way on. His first time up was hit by a pitch last time. And ended up dying at first base, figuratively. Garf, into the windup. One-strike pitch, breaking pitch, hit on the ground to the shortstop. Tuttle up, throws the first, throws it wide. There goes another error. So Tuttle doesn't even come close to the first baseman on that one. Let's see if they go with a hit and an error. It's going to be an error all the way. And that's error number seven. Second one by Tuttle. Dixie, a disaster defensively. Jeff Garf, and it says on the scoreboard, nobody out with about 12 O's in the nobody. So an easy ground ball, and any time it gets hit, Jeff Garf has to feel like he has to strike out the side now to have any shot at it. Tim May lined out, grounded out to the second baseman last time on a bang-bang play. He just got it under the first baseman's glove, and Garrett made a great play at the first base. Pitch inside, ball one. May 0-2 on the night. Man on. Nobody out. Bottom of the fifth inning. A 6-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. They've led throughout. Dixie keeps coming back, though. The pitch. Fastball. Hit on the ground to the second baseman. Into center field. Cannot get to it as Garrett, and the run is home. Throw by Peterson. Not cut off by Shepard, but the RBI single. The run is home, and it's unearned. So it's a 7-4 ball game. And the RBI single by May. Dixie not positioned well. They're not in the right place at the right time. And that's hit number seven off of Jeff Garf. Dixie has to feel a little shell-shocked on this Sunday evening. Some would say, well, they're not supposed to be playing on Sunday anyway, but that's the way the schedule fell. Mark Hanick struck out twice in his two times up. Nobody out. A run in. And if May scores, he would be an earned run. Before two men out, that is. The bunt. Foul. So St. Louis Merrimack now sensing the kill, trying to get an extra run or two. And strike one on the batter. Bottom of the fifth inning, one run in. So St. Louis Merrimack has scored in four of the five innings against Jeff Garf. This is not a typical Jeff Garf performance, although he hasn't really thrown badly. He's just had to throw a lot because of seven errors by Dixie. Pickoff over at first, back in is May. Gordon Jolly a little frustrated. Had a meeting after the fourth inning, after that defensive fiasco, to try to rally the team together. They did, enough to get a run home in the top of the fifth. But now another defensive problem. The bunt pulls it back, calls strike anyway. Hanick squared to bunt. And the pitch ended up in the strike zone anyway, so Hanick a little frustrated. Hanick one of three strikeouts that Garf had last inning. As he struck out the side, has five on the night, three in the fourth inning. Garf, when he's pitching well, doesn't really need to have much in the way of strikeouts. He'll get four or five a game, mostly late in the game. Pickoff, no good. Back in is May, easily. We have a couple of... What do we have out there? A couple of birds that have landed in center field. Came swooping in. They saw the lights. These are either huge pigeons or hawks with a nose job. The pitch, fastball, call, strike three. And so the corner is there for Jeff Garf, too. It's there for both pitchers. And Garf gets his sixth strikeout of the night. One man out, and coming to the plate, Chris Thorpe.
Chad Thorpe.
Chad Thorpe flied to right field, singled, and eventually scored in that last inning. As he is one of three earned runs that Garf has given up. The pitch, fastball, hit on the ground to the second baseman. Garrett goes to short for one. Back to first. They have the double play. 4-6-3 double play, and kind of a derisive cheer from the fans as Dixie turns a good double play to get out of the inning. But in that inning, one run on one base hit, one big error, and nobody left on base. And at the end of five, it's a 7-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
Gary Bybee at Allstate Insurance wants to congratulate the Dixie College Rebels on their appearance in the Junior College World Series. Good luck, and thanks for a great season. For all your insurance needs, see Gary Bybee at 297 West Hilton Drive in St. George or call 628-8778. Allstate Insurance Company.
What are we going to do with all these old newspapers?
And these empty soda cans and bottles. We can't just keep throwing them away.
Isn't there a recycling center in St. George?
Recycle USA at 46 North 900 East behind Harmon's. They'll buy recyclables. Call 628-4982. Recycle USA.
Dragging the infield between the fifth and sixth innings. The crew, instead of the mechanical drag, we had four guys out there on the dead run dragging the infield. Now, can Dixie come back? They have been able to before. They've had the bats, and they've shown they've been able to hit Sabota so far. They have the only home run in the ballgame. It belongs to Brad Thorne. In fact, three out of the four extra base hits in the ballgame belong to Dixie. Troy Tuttle, who has committed the last two of the seven errors that Dixie has committed, has struck out, has been called out on strike. So he is having the all-time miserable night. The only good thing that's happened to Troy Tuttle is he was able to be the middleman on the double play to end the last inning. Top of the sixth inning, Tuttle to try to get things started. Sabota sailing right along with a 7-4 lead. Fastball hit in the air to center field. The center fielder, Mike Brown, no, right fielder has it now. Center fielder looking for it, lost it. And Mark Pierce says, no, I got it. So shallow right field. First pitch hitting, Tuttle hits it out. Ellison tripled to left center, doubled to right center, drove in one run, scored another. So he's been involved with two out of the four runs. Pitch, up and in to Ellison, ball one. So Sabota sending a message, don't hit me that hard. Ellison hits everyone that hard. Ellison only a so-so Region 18 tournament because he walked eight times. Pitch, fastball, swung on and missed, strike one. Ellison trying to hit it out of Grand Junction, somewhere to Delta, swinging harder than he normally does. 1-1 count to Skeeter Ellison. One man out, top of the sixth inning. Dave Sabota to the plate. Pitch, foul back. Looked like a high slider, so it's a 1-2 count to Ellison. Waiting on deck, Brad Thorne. Young man who hit the only home run of this ball game so far. Dave Sabota trying to nurse a three-run lead. Keeps getting shrunken a little bit by Dixie. The pitch by Ellison hit on the ground to the second baseman. Stawaszynski up and throws him out at first base. So two up and two down. Brad Thorne coming to the plate. Struck out. Hit the two-run home run last time up. Brad Thorne came into this ball game hitting .333 in postseason play. And on the year, .301. So he'll boost that just a little. Picked up two RBIs in this ball game, has 23 on the year. Not bad for the number eight hitter. Breaking pitch, called strike. Top of the sixth inning, Dixie trailing 7-4 to St. Louis Merrimack. First round game. Dixie, if they lose this one, will be on a banana peel to get out of the tournament. Breaking pitch, swung on and missed, strike two. Thorne, having a swing at the pitch, is similar to what he did when he struck out his first time up. Gordon Jolly has to wait for somebody to get on before he has to worry about any signs. 0-2 pitch to Thorne. Just misses. Ball one. 1-2 count. Waiting on deck, Justin Garrett. David Sabota struck out a man, at least one, in four out of the five innings. Struck out the side in one inning that he's pitched. Pitch, just misses outside. Ball two. And low and outside. 2-2 count to Brad Thorne. Wind continues to blow in from right field. Did not hurt Brad Thorne's home run after all. Didn't look like he had that much into it to get it out, but he did. 2-2 pitch to Thorne. Fouled off, so Thorne hanging tough. 2-2 count to Thorne. Dixie trying to put together some sort of rally. It's been the bottom end of the order that's done the most damage. The top end of the order has not done much. Scott Sudbury with the RBI double. That's the most damage that's been done by the top end. Everything else has come from the bottom half of the order. RBI triple by Ellison. A two-run home run by Brad Thorne. That's where three of the four runs that Dixie has come. Sabota to the plate. 2-2 pitch. Lifted foul down the third baseline. Over. May reach the stands. Hustling after it. His third baseman, Haneke, gets into the stands. That time the wind helped Thorne. He got it up there high enough, and the jet stream kind of took it back towards parachute. Isn't that parachute in that direction? Okay, sort of. Got a lot of little towns around here. There's a Redlands area. Fruta is that away. Glenwood Springs is up the canyon. Beautiful area up in that area, behind the Grand Mesa. The pitch, lifted foul and lined into the stand. Somebody made a great play out there. I didn't see that one bounding around. So whoever grabbed that one made a great play because it didn't look like it got tossed away, got bounced back. I think it gave it back to the fan for making the catch. The pitch swung on and missed with a sinker, strike three. So Sabota gets another strikeout, three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. At the end of five and a half, it's a 7-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
In southern Utah, this is the sports and information leader, KSGI AM and FM, St. George.
The New Hampton Inn at 53 North River Road in St. George congratulates the Dixie College Rebels baseball team on their participation in the Junior College World Series. St. George's newest hotel features comfortable rooms and suites, free local phone calls, indoor pool, jacuzzi, two premium TV channels, and a deluxe breakfast buffet served each morning. Mention this ad and receive 20% off regular rates. When you need accommodations in St. George for yourself or visitors, come and enjoy the Hampton Inn. Hike new trails at the base of soaring cliffs. Explore new regions of Zion Canyon. Stroll down scenic streets. Where? Springdale. Quaint shops and cozy accommodations are yours at Flanagan's with fine dining at Flanagan's Restaurant. Flanagan's in Springdale.
Jeff Garf with shaky at best support behind him until that double play to get out of the last inning. That's the best defensive play the Dixie's had so far tonight. In fact, the only really out... Well, I shouldn't say that. There was a great defensive play by Justin Garrett. Get a man at first base. That was a good play also. So Jeff Garf, already practicing working from the stretch, just in case, will face the top of the order. Mike Brown, Steve Stelosinski, and Mark Beer. The press box we're in is actually down the first base line. And it's a two-sided, like those quarters that you used to get flipped with by your uncle when he said... Heads or tails? You remember? Two-sided press box. One side faces the baseball field, Saplesio Park, and the other faces Stocker Field, which is the football field over behind us. Behind first base where Mesa State plays its football games. Mike Brown to lead things off. First pitch to Brown, chopped out in front of the plate. Jeff Garf down to throw to first and throws it away. Jeff Garf with his second error of the game. And on its second base is Mike Brown. Garf kind of lackadaisically threw that one away, and so for the second time, Brown is on by way of the error. That is error number eight. The second one by Garf, and Garf a little frustrated. Dixie obviously down defensively. Brown threw it behind the runner. Shepard had no chance of trying to get that one. Stawaczynski, three hits and three times up. Two runs scored, and the time he didn't score, he drove in two runs. Fastball, call strike, faking the bunt to Stawaczynski. So Dixie gives Garf a big handful again to deal with. 7-4. And Dixie's going to go all the way with Garf. I don't think they're going to try to mop up with Lance Lambert. We may see somebody else and try to save Lambert for the second game. Garf to the plate. Fastball misses. Down low. 1-1 count. Thorne held it there for a while so the ump could get a good look. And apparently he said yes. Buggy Sudbury, even with the bag at first base, is Shepard. 1-1 count to Stawaczynski. In the dirt, ball two. 2-1 count to Stawaczynski. Dixie, the defense has just crumbled tonight. 8 errors. You just do not win ball games by committing that many errors, especially against a team like St. Louis Merrimack. Everybody in this tournament has either been ranked or received votes except St. Louis Merrimack. Pitch fouled off. Count goes to 2-2. Jeff Garf trying to get out of this with as little blood spilled as possible. 7-4, St. Louis Merrimack with a lead and threatening again because of the throwing error by Garf. A little chop out in front of the plate, and Garf had it easily and had enough time. And then just playing through wild at first base. The pitch, breaking pitch, just misses. Garf thought he had strike three. It's a 3-2 count to Stawaczynski. Park is in great condition, but Dixie's confidence is not right now. Garf looks at second base, comes to the plate, fastball, little soft liner down the right field line, base hit. Parker is going to have a shot? No, they're going to respect his arm. Parker throws a strike, and so no RBI, but Stawaczynski 4-for-4. Men at the corners, first and third. And Stawaczynski fought off a great fastball and just got it over the head of the first baseman. So Stawaczynski has not hit anything drilled. In fact, only a double by Shepard has really been drilled by St. Louis Merrimack. Everything else has been little singles here, little singles there. 8 hits by St. Louis Merrimack, 8 errors by Dixie. Nobody out, men at the corners, bottom of the 6th inning, and Mark Peer at the plate. Peer reached on an error, flied out to left field. He's 0-for-3. Into the stretch, Garf, men at the corners. There goes Stawaczynski. The strike called, the throw goes through, and sliding in with the stolen base is Stawaczynski. Garrett faked, cutting the throw off, but the man from third didn't go, so stolen base to Stawaczynski. That's the second stolen base of the day. Good throw by Thorne, and it's a strike one to Mark Pierce. So men at second and third. Dixie will be in the infield to try to cut off the run. Last time that happened, Stawaczynski got the ground ball single. Ground ball to Tuttle. Looks the man back at third, throws to first, gets the out, and gets a hand from the fans. It's become that much of a struggle. So Tuttle, good throw to first. Troy Tuttle, really struggling tonight, no question about it, as he has had much better games in his career at Dixie and likely to have a much better game no matter what happens the rest of the night. One man out. Matt Chuffa at the plate. Fastball. Hit to Tuttle. Going to come to the plate. The tag. Do they have him? Yes, he's out. So Tuttle makes the play at the plate on the fielder's choice. So Chuffa grounds into the fielder's choice. Moving on to third is Stawaczynski. But Tuttle has the man at the plate. So it's out 6-2. So they sent the runner that time. And Tuttle throws a strike to Thorne. Two men out, men at the corners, and Jason Shepard singled in 2 runs, drove in another run with a double, and struck out last time. The catcher, 2-for-3 and 3 RBIs. Shepard at the plate. Shufa over at first base, over at third is Stawaczynski. Garf wants to run through the signs once again. Jeff Garf close to getting out of this. Pick off over at first. Back in is Shufa. Shufa has some good speed. He's likely to go. And Todd Whaley, with things going in his direction, may put on the hit and run with 2 men out. Shufa not going. The pitch in the dirt. Ball one. Thorne makes a good save of that one. 1 ball count. Bottom of the 6th inning. Jeff Garf has pitched his heart out, but has also committed 2 errors. But that's only a 1/4 of the errors that have been committed tonight. Tuttle has 2. Garrett has 2. Thorne has 1. Sudbury has 1. Fastball in the dirt. Ball 2. Thorne keeps it in front of him. 2-0. Dixie not looking like a championship team right now. The thing that was so striking when I was here in 89 was how great the defense was for San Jacinto North. And that was part of the reason. Pitching, hit on the ground to Troy Tuttle, gets the big hop, goes to second, and so out of the inning on the fielder's choice. In that inning, no runs, a base hit, one error, and two men left on base. And so Dixie closes down St. Louis Merrimack, a moral victory, if you will. It's 7-4 St. Louis after six innings, back after this timeout.
Looking for a special, unique, and hard-to-find sports collectible? Go into TSC&C at the corner of 800 East and Tabernacle and see what they have. Cards, pogs, autographed balls, signed jerseys, and other sports memorabilia. What a selection. The best in St. George. Way to go, Dixie Rebels. Good luck, and thanks for a great season.
Wondering where to purchase your new Maytag appliance? Need professional service by a factory-trained technician? Call Reliable Maytag Home Appliance Center at 652-1330 or stop by 239 North Bluff Street in St. George. Reliable Maytag, your hometown Maytag dealer.
Top of the inning, Dixie has nine outs to get three runs back. And with all of the errors, eight errors, and the ace of the staff on the mound for St. Louis Merrimack, Dixie is still down, but by three runs. So an odd, odd series of things. You would think you have the ace of the staff on, a man with a 1.56 earned run average. Dixie has committed eight errors. By now it should be all 13-1 at worst, at best, I should say. Instead, it's a 7-4 ball game, and Dixie's still in this thing. Justin Garrett to lead things off, then Craig Peterson, then Scott Sudbury. Garrett has grounded out to the pitcher, has struck out in his two times up. Sabota with a bundle of strikeouts, a little warm-up action starting. Pitch grounded towards the shortstop. Down with it, Ashufa throws over to first base. One of the few outs tonight that has been a non-strikeout. Dixie, usually when they've hit the ball, if they haven't looped it to an outfielder, and that's a couple of them, has usually gotten on base. So first pitch hitting, Garrett is out. Craig Peterson lined a ball to right field his last time up and eventually scored the fourth run. That made it a 6-4 ball game, and it looked like Dixie was in it. Peterson taking a swing at Sabota and fouling it off. Grounded out, single. So one for three, Craig Peterson. 309 average on the year coming into this ball game. Sabota into the windup to the plate. Pitch just inside. Moving the foot up and out is Peterson, or he would have been hit on the toe. 1-1 count. And with his lame foot, that's the only thing he needs right now. That's really the only injury by Dixie is Peterson. Breaking pitch. Call strike on that outside corner. So Sabota mixing things well and throwing mostly strikes and not having to throw a whole bunch of those even at that. Dave Sabota, one man out, top of the seventh inning. He's settled in for the duration now with a 7-4 lead. Into the windup. Sabota coming to the plate. Ground ball hit towards the shortstop. Ashufa over to his left and throws a strike to first. So Ashufa getting some action at shortstop. Two up, two down. And Scott Sudbury coming to the plate. Reached on an error. Grounded out to the second baseman. Doubled to right field and drove in a run his last time. As Craig Peterson came all the way away from first base, relay man held up the ball just a little or might have had a shot at Peterson coming in to score. Two men out, Buggy Sudbury. The pitch misses, ball one. Sudbury one for three on the night. Hitting .323 on the year, picked up his team-leading 19th double last time up. Top of the seventh inning, two men out, nobody on. Sabota to the plate, fouled off, strike one. 1-1 count. By the way, top of the eighth inning, it's a 5-1 lead for Montreal over Los Angeles. Seattle leading Baltimore 5-2, top of the eighth inning. In this ball game, big windup by Sabota. 1-1 pitch, call strike. Sudbury shortened up as if to bunt. Takes a strike on the corner, 1-2 count. Sudbury with one of the errors. After a sterling Region 18 tournament, had a gosh-awful ball game, and the last one against Arizona Western. Breaking pitch outside, ball two. Sabota thought he might have had him going after it. Then with the error here, actually had one line drive, one hard-hit ground ball that leaped over his glove just prior to the error. 2-2 pitch to Buggy Sudbury. Swung on and missed strike three. So another strikeout by Sabota, and Dixie goes down 1-2-3 peacefully in the seventh inning. After six and a half innings, it's a 7-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
traditions are important. The tradition at Dixie College, the tradition of St. George, the tradition of good people all make our community what it is today. At MacArthur Jewelers in St. George, we have the tradition of 45 years in business, the tradition of service to our customer, the tradition of good product at a fair market price. Over the years, we've grown into two stores, our downtown store, where we've always been in business, and the new mall store to better serve all our customers. Remember our name. Remember MacArthur Jewelers, a tradition in St. George.
Don't chance it will.
Bottom of the seventh, something you don't get a chance to do much in junior college baseball normally is you have a seventh inning stretch. Only minus Harry Carey. Dixie trailing 7-4. Jeff Garf, after committing the throwing error, allowing St. Louis Merrimack to get on last inning, got out of the inning without a score. That's only one of two innings that St. Louis Merrimack has yet to had not scored. First two runners got on and came around to score to make it 2-0 at the end of one. Dixie got one run back. St. Louis Merrimack, two unearned runs in the third inning to make it 4-1. Then both had deuces in the fourth inning and single runs in the fifth, and that's where we stand, 7-4. Sissel to lead off again. Sissel reached on an error, grounded out, and was hit by a pitch. Pitch outside, ball one. Sissel, Tim May, Mark Hanick, Jeff Garf working the bottom of the seventh inning. 7-4, the lead for St. Louis Merrimack. The pitch swung on and missed, strike one. So Garf still with some heat on that fastball. Now that the sun has gone down, the wind is seeming to shift just a little bit. Pitch fouled off, strike two. I look at the flags down the third baseline, right behind home plate. They're blowing as if the wind's blowing in from right field. Right around third base, the flags are dead still. And down farther towards the left field line, it's like it's blowing out to right field. Odd. 1-2 pitch to Sissel. Breaking pitch. Fought off. Count holds. One ball, two strikes. Tim May waiting on deck. An RBI single his last time. Sissel came in as one of the top stolen base men. As he had 22 stolen bases. Mike Brown, the other stolen base guy for St. Louis Merrimack. Sissel with a little power. Two home runs. The pitch. Breaking pitch in the dirt. Ball two. 2-2 count to Sissel. The two teams that are gone in this tournament, by the way, are Triton, eliminated by Seminole earlier today. 2-2 pitch to Sissel. Just misses inside. Ball three. Count goes full. Garf wanted that one. As Seminole finally won a ball game after 4 years of frustration. They won today 4-1, or correction, 9-4, I should say, in Middle Georgia. Pitch. Big hopping ground ball to Sudbury. Throws a strike to first base. Just beat Sissel. And once again, a round of applause for Dixie. Anytime Dixie does something on defense well, part of it is encouragement from the Dixie fans, and part of it is kind of applause and a relief of the rest of the fans. So Triton, Illinois is gone. Also gone is Indian Hills out of Iowa, defeated by Middle Georgia today, 15-5. One man out. Tim May at the plate. May, a single, his last time up. Pitch, chopped right at the plate. They're going to say foul ball. Hit May. And then went out in front of the plate. So foul ball. RBI single last time. Grounded out, lined out. Almost got a base hit. Home plate umpire, Gordon Jolly, challenging. How come it wasn't a ground ball? And he says, no, it hit his foot. May didn't move. Brad Thorne didn't really move either. One strike count to Tim May. One man out, bottom of the seventh inning. Big curveball. Misses high. Ball one. 1-1 count. I got some oohs and ahs out of the fans. I think they thought that one was closer than the home plate umpire did. 1-1 count to Tim May. Kind of a coolish night in Grand Junction. The pitch swung on and missed, strike two with a fastball. 1-2 count. And Jeff Garf trying to settle in for a finishing kick. Warm-up action by St. Louis Merrimack. Couple of pitchers warming up. They don't want to let this one get away. Big curveball, just misses inside. Brad Thorne fished for it. Couldn't get a 2-2 count. Just reached down and tried to bring it back into the strike zone. left-hander and a right-hander warming up for St. Louis Merrimack. Breaking pitch in the dirt, strike three, and Thorne grabs it and one sweep tags the runner. So strikeout for Jeff Garth. Looking at St. Louis Merrimack. Number 13 down there is Mike Hanneman. He is the big right-hander that's warming up. And there's a left-hander there, and that looks like, no, that isn't him. I'll double-check that number. Pitch fouled off. Mark Hanick has struck out three times, once called his last time. So Hanick is having a career full of misery against Jeff Garf right now. Just beginning warm-up action by St. Louis Merrimack. Kay Sabota has a little problem in the eighth or ninth inning. One strike pitch to Hanick. Misses just outside. Ball one. Tough pitch to take when you've been taking called third strikes. 1-1 count to Mark Hanick. Two up, two down here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Fastball misses outside. Two balls, one strike count. So Garf getting a little more support defensively in the last couple of innings. Pitch, called strike on that outside corner. Thorne held that mitt there and got the call. 2-2 count to Mark Hanick. Jeff Garf into the windup. Coming to the plate, breaking pitch, called strike three. Thorne knew it, Hanick knew it. Two strikeouts in that inning, three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. And at the end of seven, it's a 7-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
I'll get back to you on that tomorrow. Don't call us, we'll call you, or the check is in the mail. I'm sure you've heard these lines a time or two before, but none of these lines can give you as much mileage as the Linese Goodyear has on sale right now at Dixieland Tire. All Eagle, all Wranglers, on sale at some honest-to-goodness savings. We're talking low, low prices on Goodyear's economy-priced Eagle GT2 Radial or the Eagle GT Plus 4 and even the Eagle Aquatread, Goodyear's Wet Traction Performance Radial. Savings you can't pass up at Dixieland Tire, South Bluff Street in St. George.
Bottom of the eighth inning, Dixie has three outs this time, three more outs, six of them all told to try to get the runs back. Trying to hold St. Louis Merrimack in check and see if Jeff Garf can finish up. Garf, without a whole bunch of defensive support, Brad Parker, Cale Shepard, Wyatt Cloward due up. Parker, slide out, struck out, walked. He's 0-for-2 on the night. First pitch by Sabota. Call strike on that outside corner. Sabota with 10 strikeouts through seven innings. He has really had his way with Dixie. Masterful pitching performance by Sabota in many ways, but Dixie's hit him around on occasion. The pitch, swung on and missed. Breaking pitch in the dirt. That was a ball, and he swung at it. It's an 0-2 count to Brad Parker. So Brad Parker trying to get off the dime. Got something started someplace. Has struck out a lot of times this year, has walked a lot of times this year, and has driven the ball a lot this year. 7-4. Parker's run is just one to get back. Breaking pitch swung on and missed. Parker after the curveball looked weak. Strikeout number 11. And coming to the plate now is Cale Shepard. Shepard, strikeout victim. Not a typical time at bat for Brad Parker. Almost as if Dixie wants to get this one over with and see if they can come back. This one has been a disaster so far for Dixie defensively. Without the defensive problems, Dixie's right in this. Cale Shepard chops it foul at the plate. Going more with the breaking pitches, Sabota starting the big hitters off with a slow curveball. One strike count to Cale Shepard. Shepard 0-for-3. Shepard came in hitting 412, not 3. Hitting 412, leading the team average-wise. It does not look like it tonight. The pitch fouled off. Good fastball. Shepard trying to catch up with it. Sabota suddenly had a little extra something on that fastball. 0-2 count, and Sabota doing a masterful job keeping ahead. Keeping ahead of the hitter all the way. The pitch, breaking pitch, hit hard to left field. So Cale Shepard gets a single as he goes the other way. And so Cale Shepard, between short and third, on the pitch outside, just went with it and drives the ball to left. Wyatt Cloward coming to the plate, singled his first time up, taking called third strikes each of his last two times up. So Cale Shepard on with one man out and Wyatt Cloward coming to the plate. Cloward trying to put together some sort of rally. Dixie can keep things going, get one or two runs here, maybe even tie it up here. Then they have a good shot at St. Louis Merrimack. The pitch, low, ball one. One ball count to Wyatt Cloward. So already it's down to eight teams as Triton is gone. Apparently there is a baseball or something that's gone onto the field. A baseball onto the field. Left fielder going over to pick it up. Left field is kind of strange. It's 302 right down the line, but they have a huge double wall of advertisement. It's 335 in the short power alley. But you have to hit it pretty well to get it up over that fence. Pitch calls strike on that outside corner. 1-1 count to Wyatt Cloward. Goes out to left center field, which is a decent cloud, but into deep left center field, it's 410. So you have to hit it a ton to get it out there. Last time I was here, Mark Roberts hit a grand slam home run over that 410 sign. Ground ball to the shortstop. Shufa goes to second for one, pulls the man off the bag. And Cloward gave up running at first base. Four to three. Dixie had a chance of having two men on, and Cloward stopped halfway down the first base line. Troy Tuttle at the plate. Two strikeouts, slide out. Pitch, line to left center field. Shepard is going to go all the way to the plate. The throw's going to come through and get cut off, so Tuttle gets a run back. And now that throw out of Cloward at first looks huge because suddenly Dixie would have had the tying run on base. So Cale Shepard comes home on the RBI single. It's a 7-5 ball game. I'm not sure if it was the injury before or after he tried to start up again that Cloward picked up this stretch. Skeeter Ellison grounded out his last time, but he has tripled in one run and doubled and scored. Skeeter Ellison, 2-for-3, stands to be the tying run. Breaking pitch. Called strike on that outside corner. So Sabota gives up a run here in the eighth inning. It's a 7-5 ball game. Sabota to the plate. Breaking pitch, misses. Tries to tease again, 1-1 count. Brad Thorne waiting on deck. So Dixie with a chance here in the top of the eighth inning. Back to a 7-5 ball game. Pick off, Tuttle back in at first base. So Tuttle trying to redeem himself after a nightmare in the first part of this ball game. Coming back with an RBI single and some better play at shortstop. The pitch to Ellison, down low, ball two, 2-1 count. By the way, a final. Montreal defeated Los Angeles 5-1. Hideo Nomo does not get another victory. Still looking for his first. The pitch, 2-1 pitch, inside, ball three, 3-1 count to Skeeter Ellison with Brad Thorne waiting on deck. Final out of Seattle without Ken Griffey. The Mariners are winning 5-2 over Baltimore tonight. Sabota to the plate, 3-1 pitch, misses, ball four, and Ellison walks. On at second base is Tuttle, on at first is Ellison, and coming to the plate, Brad Thorne. Thorne has a two-run home run to his credit and two strikeouts to his discredit. 1-for-2 on the night, and Thorne a threat, obviously. Base hit would probably score a run with two men out. And that throw out at first base, so many odd things happening to Dixie. What might have been? Just noticing down the in the bullpen, St. Louis Merrimack with two pitchers warming up. One just overthrew his catcher. The ball ricocheted off of a post in front of the stands and into left field. 90-degree ricochet. Boom, boom. Coach Todd Whaley talking to his pitcher, Sabota, trying to talk him through this. St. Louis Merrimack almost committing the error to allow Dixie have two runners on because of Cloward's lack of running down the first baseline, either because of a pulled muscle or figuring it was going to be a double play. Suddenly got the out and took away the error. The pitch to Brad Thorne, breaking pitch, called strike. So Thorne, one strike. tying runs on base now. It's a 7-5 ball game. Tuttle on at second. Ellison on at first. Go-ahead run is with E. Thorne, potential. Fastball swung on it, missed strike two. So Thorne down 0-2 to Sobota. Sobota coming right back. Good piece of pitching for Sobota. Although he's been racked around a little bit. On a 1.56 earned run average, has given up five earned runs tonight. Into the stretch, Sobota. 0-2 pitch. Chop into center field. The left center field is going to be caught. Yes, it is. And for the fly ball, playing shallow as a left fielder to get the fly out. So Thorne almost had a bloop single. Instead, it's going to be an out in that inning. One run on two base hits. No errors and two men left. And at the end of 7.5, it's a 7-5 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Back after this timeout.
Expert beauty salon service at beauty school prices. That's what you get at Evans Hairstyling College. They're located at 995 East Tabernacle. Drop by and set your appointment. Call 673-6128 and watch for registration at Evans Hairstyling College in St. George.
We're the bank
for the brand new generation.
We're the bank
for when you're banking on the run.
We're the bank
for convenience you can count on. Working towards the future, we're growing strong.
Sun Capital Bank.
We're number one.
Sun Capital Bank.
We're growing strong.
Sun Capital Bank.
Sun comes shining through.
Hike new trails at the base of soaring cliffs. Explore new regions of Zion Canyon. Stroll down scenic streets. Where? Springdale. Quaint shops and cozy accommodations are yours at Flanagan's, with fine dining at Flanagan's Restaurant. Flanagan's in Springdale.
Bottom of the eighth inning. Jeff Garf trying to put the stopper on St. Louis Merrimack, as it's a 7-5 lead, and the difference is the unearned runs. Seven runs scored by St. Louis Merrimack, only three of them earned against Jeff Garf. And those eight big errors, just a frustrating performance for Dixie defensively. Chad Thorpe to lead things off. Then it's to the top of the order, Mike Brown, and then Steve Stalazinski. Question whether Sobota will be back out next inning. Although Sobota has a chance to get the nine innings in, Jeff Garf would like to pitch to six more batters, three in each inning, which would mean that Dixie would have a chance to win. Pitch fouled off. Thorpe has singled and stolen a base, scored a run, hit into a double play, flied out to right field. So he is one for three. Chad Thorpe, the center fielder. The difference is the defense right now. Garf really has pitched well. In fact, in many ways, outpitched Sobota, although Sobota has stayed ahead of the batter so much. Pitch inside, ball one. Sobota, I believe, has only walked two batters. Let's look around. He's only walked two batters in this ball game with 11 strikeouts. The pitch hit hard over the first baseman's head down into right field. Brad Parker gets it on the bounce, and the single for Chad Thorpe goes the other way. Good piece of hitting by Thorpe. So the leadoff man is on by way of the single. No warm-up action for Dixie, so Garf is just going to have to work his way out of it. Mike Brown has walked, has reached on an error, has reached on an error again, has struck out. He scored twice. So he is 0 for 3 on the night, but has scored twice, done some damage. Do you look for the bunt? Dixie got a run back. St. Louis Merrimack has been known to come back and get a run or two. Nobody out, a man on. In at third base is Buggy Sudbury, just in case there is the bunt. And Mike Brown, with some speed, fakes the bunt. The bat is brought back. It's ball one. Ball one count to Mike Brown. Some scores from around the majors in the American League. Kansas City over Milwaukee, 7-4 tonight. Texas down Minnesota, 4-2. Cleveland nipped Toronto, 5-4. Here it's 7-5. St. Louis Merrimack over Dixie College. Fastball misses. Ball two. Other scores, slugfest. Chicago White Sox 14, Detroit 12. Two home runs to Ron Karkovice, coupled to Cecil Fielder in that ballgame. 2-0 count to Mike Brown. Bottom of the eighth inning. Fakes the bunt. Called ball. And Jeff Garp barking at the umpire a little bit, wondering where that one was. 3-0 count to Mike Brown. And Dixie struggling a little bit, a lot tonight. St. Louis Merrimack out playing Dixie, no question. The pitch called strike. So Garf just reared back and fired that one. Sudbury still in at third base, just in case. Is the bunt back on? 3-1 count. Where do you start the runner? Little hit and run action. Infield is back, save Sudbury. 3-1 pitch, there's the bunt. Out in front of the plate, Garf to go to first base. This time he throws a strike, and so the sacrifice is good. Out 1-3. One man out, and moving on to second is Chad Thorpe. That takes away the double play possibility, at least a normal double play possibility. Steve Stawaczynski has not hit the ball hard against Jeff Garf. He's just hit it often. He is 4-for-4 on the night, 4 singles. So you look out there, 9 total hits, 4 of them belong to Stawaczynski. And one of them drove in 2 runs. So man on a second base, Stawaczynski. The pitch, inside, ball 1 with a fastball. Jeff Garf, not quite as sharp as he was last inning. Other scores, New York Yankees beat Oakland 4-1. California over Boston 8-3, and we mentioned Seattle beat Baltimore 5-2. Give you the National League scores in a minute. One man out, man on at second. The pitch, called strike on that outside corner. Stawaczynski at the plate, 7-5, I should say, here. St. Louis Merrimack with a narrow 2-run lead over Dixie. Garf into the stretch, looks back at second base, comes to the plate. Breaking pitch outside, ball 2, 2-1 count. In the National League, Colorado over Pittsburgh, 6-3 today. Mike Kingery hit a home run in that one. San Francisco beat the Mets 5-1. 2-1 count. Stawaczynski at the plate. Looks at second. The pitch hit on the ground towards the second baseman. Garrett looks the man back at second. Not a break by the man at second. Surprising. And Todd Whaley with his hands outstretched. How come he didn't come to third? So Stawaczynski finally retired on the ground ball to the second baseman. And the runner, Chad Thorpe, did not come to third. Whaley looking down at third base, pleading with the runner. With a look, why didn't you come to third? It was hit behind you. Stawaczynski doing a good piece of hitting. Just so it was not as effective as it should have been. Mark Peer at the plate. 0-for-4, but he's reached twice on an error. Or I should say on 2 errors, 1 each time. 2 men out. Breaking pitch. Almost hits Peer. Started to turn into it. Ball 1. Other score, Cincinnati over St. Louis, 9-2. 1 ball count to Mark Peer. Gordon Jolly trying to urge his team on defensively. Fastball, tried to hold up, goes through and fouls it off. Strike 1. 1-1 count. Garf still has a little heat out there, apparently. Atlanta over Houston, 3-1 tonight. In 10 innings, San Diego beat Philadelphia 13-5. And the Cubs beat Florida 13-8. And we mentioned Montreal 5, Los Angeles 1. 7-5, the lead for St. Louis Merrimack. Off the end of the bat, foul, right into the Dixie dugout. So Peer did not get around on that one. Jeff Garf gets the ball back from the umpire and snaps at the ball. Garf looking a little frustrated out there. 1-2 count to Mark Peer. 2 men out, a man on at second base, I should say. Bottom of the eighth inning, 7-5, St. Louis Merrimack with the lead. The breaking pitch reached for, big hopper to Troy Tuttle is going to have to throw on the run and gets his man. Tuttle with a good defensive play for the third out to retire the side. To win that inning, no runs, a hit, no errors, and a man left. We go to the ninth, 7-5 St. Louis Merrimack, back after this timeout.
In southern Utah, this is the sports leader, KSGI AM and FM, St. George.
You know a winning team when you see one, so why not see the award-winning lineup of 1995 GMC trucks at your local Color Country GMC dealers? Your selection of GMC trucks is better than ever, and they're all specially priced to guarantee you excellent values on the GMC you've been wanting, like the new GMC Sierras, the Suburbans, the Jimmys, and the Yukons. You'll score savings at your local Color Country GMC, so visit Newby Auto Center in Richfield, Tri-State GMC in Cedar City, and Newby GMC in St. George.
For quality and lasting excellence, protect your concrete investment with DecoSeal. Number one in customer service and beautiful concrete coatings. Others try to imitate, but there's only one true DecoSeal. Call 674-2222 today.
7-5, St. Louis Merrimack with the lead. Dixie will not play tomorrow. No question about that. Dixie will not play. That's not an option. One elimination game tomorrow. We'll have Middle Georgia versus Seminole. That's an early game. Dixie to lead off, trailing 7-5. First pitch outside to Justin Garrett. Garrett 0-3 on the night. Garrett Peterson Sudbury needs two runs to tie, three runs to go ahead. The pitch outside, ball two. And suddenly there's a bunch of fans in addition to Dixie fans that are kind of cheering for Dixie. Dixie's probably the closest to Colorado. 2-0 pitch. Called strike on that inside corner. Dixie needing base runners. Justin Garrett leading things off. Garrett has hit the ball well in clutch situations, but tonight he's 0-3. Sabota to the plate. Fastball chopped up the middle. Shufa has the big hop. Throws the first base in the dirt. Fished out by Sissel. So a great play by Sissel on the bad throw. And one man out. Dixie's down to two outs. Craig Peterson, a single and four times up. He eventually scored. But Dixie, with still a chance. Craig Peterson at the plate. If Dixie wins, they play the late game Tuesday. If they lose, they play at 12 noon Tuesday in an elimination game. We'll talk about that in the post game. Sabota into the windup. The pitch to Peterson outside. Ball one. Sabota trying to get the great finishing kick. The relief pitchers are down right now. They may be warm enough. Or Coach Todd Whaley may be figuring better. Peterson, a little looping fly ball into right center field. Coming together, the outfielders here has it. So down to the final out for Dixie, and the St. Louis fans are excited. St. Louis Merrimack making their first appearance since Todd Whaley was a player back in 1986. Buggy Sudbury, a run-scoring double, struck out, grounded out, reached on an error, 1-for-4 on the night. Dixie will be in the loser's bracket if they end up losing this one. The pitch to Sudbury outside, ball one. Brad Parker, if Sudbury can get on, Parker would stand to be the tying run potential. Sudbury, fly ball hits a deep left center field. Back goes the left fielder. He's not going to catch up with this one. It's going to be against the wall. Sudbury will pull in with a stand-up double. Sudbury hit it right in front of the 410 sign. One bounce to the wall. So Dixie is still alive. And Brad Parker coming to the plate. Parker, two strikeouts, a fly out and a walk. He is about due. And his last time up was a weak time at bat, one of the weakest I've seen for Brad Parker. So Sudbury on at second base. Gordon Jolly hollering encouragement to Brad Parker. If Parker can get on, then Shepard would stand to be the go-ahead run. Two men out. Sudbury, a two-out double. The pitch to Parker misses. Ball one. Cale Shepard, who singled his last time up, coming to the plate. Dixie needs to get into the bottom half of the order. That's the part that has done the damage. Sabota looks at second, comes to the plate. Pitch outside. Ball two. 2-0 count to Parker. Parker ahead of the count. Dixie with the only home run in this ball game, a two-run shot by Brad Thorne. Brad Parker with 18 of them on the year. Into the stretch, Sabota looks to the plate. Fastball outside, ball three. Sabota, one pitch from putting the tying run potential on the base. Cale Shepard waiting on deck. Sabota looks at second base. The pitch hit in the air to center field, a little pop-up. Coming in is Sudbury, going back as the second baseman. The right fielder gets it and falls down. Mark Pierre. Pierre finally gets it for the third out to retire the side. So the little pop fly to right field ends the ball game. Dixie, no runs, a hit, no errors, and a man left. And Sabota gets a complete game victory as he has gone all the way in 11 of his 12 starts, 13 starts this year. Dixie will end up on the short side of a 7-5 ball game. That's the ball game. Stay tuned for the post game show. We'll give you the the final wrap-up of statistics and possibly a visit with Coach Gordon Jolly after this timeout. The teams meeting at midfield to shake hands. Final score, St. Louis Merrimack 7, Dixie 5. Back after this timeout.
Sign up today for ComNet Cellular's free weekend of phone calls for 2 months. That means you can place and receive calls on your ComNet Cellular phone at no charge during specified weekend hours of midnight Friday through 11:59 p.m. Sunday. The offer is available for a limited time. Find out the details today at ComNet Cellular. Call 628-2002 or see them at 370 West St. George Boulevard. ComNet Cellular.
EDG Fashion Floors at 225 North Bluff has a showroom full of everything to decorate your home or office beautifully. Call for a free consultation. Home of the Capture dry cleaning system for carpet and rugs, too. EDG Fashion Floors, your Trustmark and Carpet Max dealer.
Dixie REA customers, did you know that at Wilkinson's you can purchase a $500 water heater with a lifetime warranty on the tank and the elements and get a $400 rebate from Dixie REA? If I lived in the Dixie REA area, I would not miss out on this great opportunity. For more information, contact Wilkinson's or Dixie REA. Wilkinson's, between the Tabernacle and Smith. Wilkinson's, 245 West Tabernacle. Wilkinson's
Champion Cellular is offering great specials right now. Cell phones starting at $18.95. Flip phones for $99. Also, you can get up to 400 minutes free for the first 2 months after activation. There are some restrictions that apply. If you want great specials and great service, call Champion Cellular at 590-5000 or 632-5176. Champion Cellular.
See, if they were to come back and win this tournament, we'll have to do it with their backs against the wall. That's been known to happen, though. That has been known to happen. Frustrating for Jeff Garf, as Garf committed two of the errors, but eight total on the night for Dixie College, and just a total frustration for the Dixie College Rebels. Jeff Garf, obviously tired. He gave his effort and a little concerned about the strike zone, it seemed to be at times, but Garf still ended up with a pretty good night on the mound in spite of losing 7-5. Seven runs against Jeff Garf, but only three of them earned runs, and so that's just about the average. If Dixie does not give up the four unearned runs, Dixie ends up winning this ball game. All five of the runs off of Dave Sabota were earned in a tough, tough loss by the Dixie College Rebels tonight against St. Louis Merrimack. Let's take a look at the final scoring total. For St. Louis Merrimack, they get seven runs on a total of nine hits. They commit one error and strand a total of five, seven, eight men on base. So eight men left on base for St. Louis Merrimack. For Dixie, they score five runs, also have nine hits, but underline the big eight errors for Dixie. And Dixie strands a total of three, four, six, seven men on base. So seven men left on base for Dixie. Dixie actually hit Sabota pretty well, the number one pitcher for St. Louis Merrimack. But it was too many errors during the early part of the ball game that helped give St. Louis Merrimack a lead early that they never would let go. And Dave Sabota just did a masterful job of pitching. He only walked two, struck out a total of 11 in the ball game. So Dixie going down on strikes 11 times. That is a frustration for the Rebels, too. Final score 7-5. We'll be back and take a look at the rest of the tournament and what it shapes up for tomorrow and Tuesday, the next time Dixie plays after this timeout.
The Locker Room's first annual truckload sale is on now. Go in and pre-order from a large selection of family recreation equipment. Swing sets to monkey bars, bike racks to tetherball sets, permanent and portable basketball standards, and six-foot soccer goals, all at sale prices. With summer just around the corner, the Locker Room also has huge savings on trampolines of all sizes. So stop by the Locker Room for all of your sports needs. The Locker Room, 514 North Bluff in St. George.
Spring Fresh Water Systems at 435 North Bluff Street in St. George says good luck to the Dixie College Rebels baseball team. At Spring Fresh, water is processed daily and delivered to your home or office in 3 or 5 gallon bottles. We also have the Kinetico Water Processing System available for your own personal use. Call Spring Fresh today, 673-1716. Spring Fresh Water. A lot of people think St. George has it all. And there's no exception when it comes to America's number one chocolate. Stop in and visit Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory at the Zion Factory stores. And if you buy one chocolate-dipped banana, you receive a second one at half price. And be sure to check out all of the other goodies at your number one place for chocolate, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory in the Zion Factory Outlet Mall. At Schumacher Discount Carpet, we have over 15,000 yards of carpet in stock. We are Southern Utah's largest stocking dealer, but carpet is not all we have. We also carry vinyl and wood flooring for residential or commercial uses at the lowest prices around. For fast, friendly service, call Schumacher Discount Carpet, 628-0534. Or come and see us at 735 Industrial Road, Schumacher Discount Carpet.
7-5, Dixie with the loss tonight as St. Louis Merrimack jumped on Dixie early. This is how it went. Jeff Garf began the bottom half of the first inning by walking leadoff hitter Mike Brown. Steve Stawaczynski ended up singling to put two men on, and before it was all over, men moved up to second and third on a ground out by Matt Schufa. That put men at second and third, and then Jason Shepherd just promptly lined a shot into center field to drive in the two runs to make it 2-0 Dixie, or to make it 2-0 St. Louis Merrimack right off the bat. So 2-0 St. Louis Merrimack initially. And Dixie then came back. Wyatt Cloward began the back half of the first inning, or top half of the second inning, I should say. Wyatt Cloward got the top half of the second inning with a line drive single to left field. After one man was out, Troy Tuttle struck out. Skeeter Ellison hit a line drive to left center field that just skipped beyond the left fielder right to the fence, and Skeeter Ellison ended up with a triple and an RBI to make it a 2-1 ball game. St. Louis Merrimack came right back in the third inning, and that's when kind of the wheels fell off the wagon. After Chad Thorpe flied out to right field and Mike Brown struck out, then Steve Stawaczynski singled. Then the error by Justin Garrett, an error on the ground ball that allowed Pierre to get on first base and then threw wildly to first base. The umpire in the field saying that Stawaczynski was headed to third and allowed him to go home. And before it was all over, Jason Shepherd doubled in the second run. That was Mark Peer, and two unearned runs score to make it 4-1 for St. Louis Merrimack. Dixie came back in the top of the fourth inning after two called third strikes, one to Wyatt Cloward, one to Troy Tuttle. Skeeter Ellison doubled to right center field, doubled hard to right center field, and Brad Thorne then hit the only home run of the ball game as it looked like it was going to fall short. And about the time it hit the warning track, just seemed to get an extra little boost to get out as Brad Thorne got the two-run home run to make it 4-3. For St. Louis Merrimack, they came back with after one out with Chad Thorpe getting a single, stole second. Then Mike Brown reached on the error, and Steve Stawaczynski singled in two runs again to make it a 6-3 lead. Dixie got one more in the top of the fifth after a single by Craig Peterson. The RBI double by Buggy Sudbury sent the man all the way from first base, and Peterson scored to make it a 6-4 ball game. But St. Louis Merrimack ended up with one more run in the bottom of the fifth inning after Darren Sissel reached on the error by Troy Tuttle. Eventually, Tim May singled in the run after Sissel ended up all the way to second base. And Tim May singled in the run, which proved to be the final one for St. Louis Merrimack, as Jeff Garf got good defensive help generally from that point on and shut out St. Louis Merrimack over the next three innings. Dixie held into check, only ended up with one more run on the night, as they ended up with after a strikeout, K.L. Shepard singling. Wyatt Cloward slipped as he got out of the batter's box and fell down on what would have been an error to allow him to get on first base. The throw eventually went from the shortstop to the second baseman onto the first baseman, and they got the man there. Troy Tuttle then singled in K.L. Shepard, and that was the end of the scoring, 7-5. Gordon Jolly has joined us. We'll give him a chance to catch his breath, and then we'll be back with the coach after this timeout. Final score, 7-5, St. Louis Merrimack.
Reva Sports has your largest selection of sportswear and equipment in Southern Utah with great names like Nike, Reebok, and Converse, and a variety of equipment for sports such as rollerblading, soccer, football, tennis, baseball. Wow! Virtually every sport you can play. All of this and more at Rebel Sports, located at 468 West St. George Boulevard in St. George. Yeah, Rebel Sports. Hey, why are you running all over Gibson Carpet Gallery showroom?
I'm checking on the savings on Mohawk Brand Excellence. They're wall to wall.
You said it. All our Mohawk carpets are priced right. They feature DuPont Stainmaster with spill block, and Mohawk's Right Choice Guide makes selecting yours easy.
Save on them all from wall to wall. Get big savings on Mohawk carpet and on your other flooring needs at Gibson's Carpet Gallery.
Sports Fanatic in the Red Cliffs Mall carries the largest selection of team-licensed apparel in Southern Utah. With over 1,000 team sports hats in stock, both fitted and adjustable, you're sure to find the one you want. We have a complete line of T-shirts, shorts, jackets, and novelty items. And we specialize in attitude-tied T-shirts. Mention this ad for 10% off your next purchase. Remember, the Sports Fanatic.
Back at Saplesio Park, Coach Gordon Jolly has joined us. And, Coach, at one point it must have been, you must have been thinking you were going through a nightmare out there.
Well, it sure was. I didn't want to go out there. It just, nothing happened for us. We couldn't make a play in the infield, and that's what cost us the ball game.
You look at that, only three out of the runs off of Jeff Garf were earned.
Yeah, I can believe that. I thought it was less than that. But it starts your pitcher thinking if you're ever going to get any backup at all. And it's just a tough situation. It's just too bad it had to happen here, because I don't think we've even been close to that in errors this year.
Jeff even contributed. He had a couple of errors himself.
Yeah, it's a different turf. It's a thick turf, even from the outfield. We had to rush our throws a little bit, and it's just tougher. We're not used to that, and that's an excuse, and we shouldn't have it. But it is a little bit different. When Hurst Field thickens up a little bit, it'll be more like this, more of a plush. But right now, it just slows the ball, and we haven't been used to that. We've been used to the quicker grounder.
They get nine runs, and all five of the runs off of Sabota are earned, and he has a 1.56 earned run average, so you hit him pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Still a little disappointing there. The thing that sticks out in my mind as far as offense goes, twice we have runners on third base with one out, and we don't get them home. In fact, we don't even make contact. And that's a little bit, frustrating to me anyway, because there's two runs right there, and we lose by two, and just in simple execution, getting the runner home, and that doesn't even count, the defense, which was the story of the game.
Bottom end of the order is still the most productive for you.
Well, Skeeter Ellison's there, and that's why.
And Brad Thorne hits the two-run home run.
Brad Thorne hits the two-run home run and has a pretty good ball game.
Now, you look at this, their ace is on the mound. You've committed eight errors, and by all rights and privileges, it should be a 13-1 ball game, and you're still in it right at the end. That must be somewhat encouraging in kind of a strange sort of way.
Oh, I don't know. it's just frustrating. Yeah, because when you look at the teams that are at the World Series, this was our best chance. And just because we go into a loser's bracket doesn't mean we're going to play a team that's easier for us to win than, or beat than this game. And so that's why it's frustrating. This was the biggest game that, you know, that we've played all year, and we didn't play well defensively.
Jeff Garr pitched pretty well for you.
He's great. I have nothing but praise for Jeff. He walked the first batter of the game. Other than that, I was proud of the way he threw.
And the defense seemed to rally late in the ball game for you.
But it was too late. It was not good enough. For a team that's in the World Series, you don't make 8 errors.
Now, you go into the consolation bracket. Admittedly, Triton last year ended up losing the first game and ended up coming back to play for the championship, so that's still a distinct possibility for Dixie. And you've rallied before after having a poor ball game in a series.
Yeah, we've rallied all year, and we rallied in this ball game, and I think the kids will come back and play hard in the next ball game. I'm not sure who will play, or that has to be decided tomorrow in the 2 o'clock game. We'll play the winner of the 2 o'clock game, but it's a tough road, and nobody said it'll be easy, but it's just frustrating when you should beat a team and you don't.
So your opponent will not be known. You'll play early on Wednesday. That puts you back under in daylight again. Will that make much of a difference for you?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the lights had anything to do with our errors. I think more just the thickness of the grass, and we had to hurry a couple of throws, and we just weren't quite used to that. And maybe just with a lot of the young kids, a lot of preseason, or a lot of the jitters.
Coach, you still have plenty of pitching to come back if you can.
Yeah, we've got one more game left, and if we don't win that game, so who knows? You've got to win, and then your pitching becomes a problem. We haven't won yet.
Now, the question is, can the kids rally?
Oh, I think so. This is a tough team, and it didn't look like it today, but I think, I think we can. I was hoping Brad Parker, we gave him the green light with 3-0. We'd get a better piece of that, and he was due. And I'd probably give him a green light again because the pitch was in the middle of the zone up just a tiny bit, but it was a good pitch to hit, and he just got under it a little bit.
Cloward slips coming out of the batter's box on a ground ball and then comes up limping. Is he going to be okay?
I don't know. That's a tough situation. We've got kids that are chopping at the bit to want to hit, and he said his knee went out a little bit, and then by the time he got back up, he was out by two or three steps. It's just one of those situations. He had knee surgery. He had knee surgery in October or September, right when school began, and you'd think that would heal up or get stronger as progression is day by day, but it didn't work today.
He did get a base hit for you, get solid signal.
Yeah, he did, and when you're hit number 5 and DH'ing, you expect those things. But then again, to me, the game wasn't a lack of offense. When you go against a pitcher with the numbers such as we faced today, the storyline by far was our defense, and that's just too bad because it hasn't really been a problem for us this year.
And twice it's happened in postseason play now. You've recovered the first time.
You mean coming back?
With defensive problems. You ended up with defensive problems against Arizona Western in that first game on the district championship, or game
right.
Two, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
And then responded.
We were very tight. I think more of that game that we were just a little bit nervous of the pitcher, and it affected our defensive play. I don't think we were really that nervous with this pitcher. Just being in away from home, plus I think the turf being a little thicker was just a change for our infielders.
Coach, we'll let you get a good night's sleep and try it again Tuesday. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you, Larry.
Coach Gordon Jolly, final score once again, 7-5. We'll be back. St. Louis Merrimack wins. We'll be back with the final look at the tournament after this timeout.
In southern Utah, this is the sports and information leader, KSGI AM and FM, St. George.
Auto Trim Design, southern Utah's largest truck accessories dealer, is now offering up to 50% off window tinting with the purchase of a new sunroof. Auto Trim Design, 375 North Park, 295 North Bluff.
Reflecting your style, expressing your mind, customized by Auto Trim Design.
Gary Bybee at Allstate Insurance wants to congratulate the Dixie College Rebels on their appearance in the Junior College World Series. Good luck, and thanks for a great season. For all your insurance needs, see Gary Bybee at 297 West Hilton Drive in St. George or call 628-8778. Allstate Insurance Company.
Oh, the luxuries of the modern world. Instant soup, instant breakfast, instant cash, and now even instant financing. Now at Big Old Tires, you can get instant financing with the exclusive credit card, the Big Card. Choose from low monthly payments or 6 months same as cash. With the Big Card, instant credit means no hassle. Your application is processed while you wait. So don't wait any longer. Get your Big Card today at Big Old Tires, a reputation you can ride on.
Big Old Tires.
Back at Sublisio Park in Grand Junction, Colorado. Disappointing for Dixie College, no question about it. Those big eight errors. And when you look at it, five earned runs off of the ace of the St. Louis Merrimack staff, Dave Sabota. Dixie was able to hit the ball, especially the lower end of the order. Brad Thorne coming up with the only home run of the ball game, his fourth on the year, three in postseason play. Skeeter Ellison with a double, his 14th of the year and his seventh triple of the year, drove in a run. So Skeeter Ellison still hitting hot and ended up with another walk. He has walked, seems like he walks forever in postseason play. Cale Shepard only one base hit. Brad Parker without a base hit in that in the game, and Wyatt Cloward a single, and that's part of the story. Two singles in the heart of your order, and that's it. And Brad Parker did walk once, but it was not a productive middle part of the order. That's part of the offensive story. Buggy Sudbury two doubles and now has 20 on the year to lead Dixie College. Got an RBI in the process too, his 35th of the year. So. That 3-4-5 hitters need to produce more than just a single. But the big problem was not so much the hitting, as Dixie pulls up nine hits off of the ace of the St. Louis Merrimack staff, Dave Sabota. That was the good part for Dixie. The bad part was the eight errors. Two by Jeff Garf, two by Troy Tuttle, one each by Brad Thorne and by Scott Sudbury. In most cases, plays that should have been made and should not have allowed the runs to score. You take away the four unearned runs that Jeff Garf gave up, and you have, instead of a 7-5 loss, a 5-3 victory. And so the